Are you ready?
Yep.
I'm ready.
Oh, I see what you're doing.
Oh, that's right.
City Council will come to order. Carla, please call a roll.
Adams? Adams?
Here.
Leonard?
Here.
Saltzman?
Here.
Sten?
Here.
Potter?
Here. I'd like to remind folks that prior to offering public testimony to City Council, a lobbyist must declare which lobbying entity they are authorized to represent. Please read the 6 p.m. time certain.
Item 257, refer renewal of children's levy to city voters as a local option levy for 5 years commencing in fiscal year 2009-10.
Mr. Saltzman.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor, members of the council. Good evening. It's great to see everyone here. I want to extend a special thank you to all of the supporters of the Children's Investment Fund who've come out tonight to show their support for renewal of the children's levy on the November 2008 ballot. In 2002, Portland did what only a handful of other cities throughout the nation have done. We made children a priority by saying yes to creation of the Children's Investment Fund. Portland voters recognized the need and the wisdom in supporting preventative programs that help children enter kindergarten prepared to succeed, that help students stay engaged in school and safe after school, that help stressed families at risk for child abuse and neglect to receive the support they need. Portlanders understood the connection between strong, healthy children becoming future leaders in a strong, healthy city. We're hopeful that city residents will recognize the importance of continuing to support these investments this November, especially because the Children's Investment Fund has a proven track record of success. For 6 years, it has wisely invested in programs that are changing the lives of nearly 16,000 Portland children and families each year. In addition, we've kept our promises to the voters of Portland. We've kept our promise to only invest in cost-effective and proven programs. We've kept our promise to operate under a 5% administrative cap, meaning that 95 cents of every dollar is invested directly in children's programs throughout the city. And we've kept our promise to give voters the biggest bang for their buck by leveraging over $3 million in private dollars to match our investments. Because of the programs we've invested in, infants and toddlers are ready for kindergarten. Students are attending quality after-school programs. Peer and adult mentors are helping students stay focused and achieve a positive future. Families splintered by stress, poverty, and homelessness are receiving child abuse prevention services to get their lives back on track. While some of our children, our programs are currently helping children in the foster care system, we all know because of the grim reports in the media that we need to and we can do more. While our three core areas of targeted efforts will remain the same, child abuse prevention and intervention, early childhood education, and after school and mentoring, we will add in this ballot measure a fourth investment area, helping children in foster care succeed. We are fortunate that we can keep the amount of the levy the same at 40 cents per $1,000 of assessed value while still being able to invest in additional programs that support our foster children without having to reduce support for our other program areas. In 2002, Portlanders said yes to the city's children, to giving hope and opportunity to our youth. With Council's yes vote tonight, we will give Portland voters the chance to say yes this November to continue supporting Portland's children and provide a healthy start that can lead them to success in school and beyond. We're pleased to have a number of speakers tonight who will say a few words about the Children's Investment Fund, but we want to start off with a brief, with the fund staff giving a short overview of what we do. And Mary Gay Broderick, our communications director, will provide that.
Thanks, Carla. Good evening, everyone. Thank you, Mayor and council members. We appreciate the opportunity to be here tonight and tell you a little bit about the Children's Investment Fund. Actually, maybe I should change that little bit to a lot with the looks of the crowd, but we'll try to keep things moving along here. I do have a brief PowerPoint just to go over some of our major areas and to give everyone kind of a 101 about what we do at the Children's Investment Fund. You can see what we do. I think Dan mentioned we do serve 16,000 children and families throughout Portland every year. We talked about our low admin cap. Our fund is annually audited and overseen by a 5-member allocation committee that's composed of a city councilman, a county commissioner, and 3 private citizen representatives. We do have a leverage fund that we set aside a $3 million leverage fund, and to date we have done a dollar-for-dollar match for that leverage fund, so we've infused the city of Portland with $6 million more $6 million more of children's programs dispersed throughout the city. We do track our investments. Our investments only go to proven programs. They must have a track record of success. Our staff monitor those grantees through site visits, quarterly reports, other data tracking. The grantees also must submit audits, and you know we keep pretty good track of what they're doing and making sure that they're meeting the goals of serving the children. So here's just a little bit of statistics from last year. Again, we did serve 16,000. Dan mentioned the children in foster care, and that's going to be a specific targeted area the next time in the ballot language. We did about 7,900 home visits. You can see more than 6,000 students participated in after-school programs. Nearly 3,000 students were mentored in mentoring programs. And we provided about 1,200 hours of respite care for families that are splintered apart by abuse and neglect. We do track our success, and we feel like we've done some pretty good data tracking to show that we're meeting some good milestones. 82% of the children in our early childhood programs are meeting those key milestones in growth and development, and the other 18% are on track to meet those milestones and getting the therapy that they need. We work with the school districts and to show that they provide us with a lot of data at the end of the year, and we can say that Portland Public School students who are in our after-school mentoring programs are showing improvements in academics, attendance, and behavior. And the families in our child abuse and prevention programs are seeing an increase in home stability. Just a little bit of demographics. The majority of children we fund come from low-income households. And again, just some research showing that, you know, providing money for early childhood gives the biggest bang of any buck. Again, some more demographics. You can see that about 50% of the children that we serve are African American, Latina, Hispanic, and the investments to about 66 organizations are dispersed throughout the city, mainly North Portland, Northeast, and Southeast Portland. Again, we just want to go over a few individual highlights. This is Little Morgan, and he was in Albertina Care's KEEP program, and he was suffering from traumatic stress syndrome. He was in the house alone with his father, who committed suicide for a few days by himself. And so through the KEEP program that targets 3- to 5-year-olds with emotional and behavior problems, he got language therapy, he got physical therapy, he got occupational therapy, to social and fine motor skills so that he could succeed, and now he is in kindergarten. So, I don't know what's wrong with my photos there. Eighth graders participating in this is about the Step Up program, and eighth graders participating in tutoring, and they get homework help and arts activities to help them successfully transition to Roosevelt High School. This is our OLI program. I think we have some students here who are going to talk about this. Middle school students receive mentoring from high school peers, and they participate in community service projects so they can stay focused on high school, stay in school, and think about college. This is a child abuse prevention program that we fund through the Native American Rehabilitation Association. This particular woman came from a family with a history of abuse, and she was herself a drug addict, and she wanted to break the cycle of abuse for her little boy. She went to NARA's Residential Treatment Center, that's out in Linton, and there the families, the moms and dads, stay together with their children. The children receive screening for any developmental risks, and they get help, they get checkups, while their moms and dads live with them in the same little room, apartment on site, and they attend parenting classes and get help for their addictions. And she successfully graduated from the program. Here's a pie chart which shows just where our money goes. You can see how it's split up between early childhood, child abuse prevention, and after-school mentoring, and again, our admin cap, which is below 5%. Here's a breakdown, $3.7 million invested in 19 early childhood programs, $3.6 million in 30 after-school programs, and $1.4 million last year to 11 child abuse and prevention programs. Going over the ballot language, as Commissioner Salzman noted, we're going to continue funding those three. There are three current areas of early childhood, after-school, and mentoring, and child abuse prevention. We will add summer programs for our after-school programs, and then our fourth area, foster children. Again, the tax rate will remain the same, and we'll have the same 5% admin cap. And that's all. If anyone has any questions, I'd be happy to take them. No? Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Thanks, Mary Gray. Mm-hmm. Our first panel is Carol Smith, Superintendent of Portland Public Schools, Ron Belts, and Alyssa Kinney-Geyer. Ron and Alyssa are both members of the Allocation Committee, the Citizens Oversight Committee for the Children's Investment Fund. So, Carol?
I'm Mayor Potter, members of the Council. I just want to thank you. So I'm Carol Smith, Superintendent of Portland Public Schools, and we serve 46,000 students in the Portland area. I want to thank you for giving the voters an opportunity to, again, continue support of the Children's Investment Fund. And I'm heartened both by the partnership, your partnership with the district, and the partners in this room. When I walk in here, I realize what a critical part of the support infrastructure for Portland's young people that this investment fund has become. And it supports numbers of our students being ready for kindergarten when they start in the district. And supports them being successful in school once they are with us. We are the mentoring and after-school programs, as you saw on the slide above, have been a huge support in helping our students be successful in school. And we have been tracking the data as well in terms of impact on attendance and behavior and academic success. So thank you for putting this forward to the voters again and letting us have the opportunity to continue to support this critical service to our kids.
No, Carol has another engagement, so we can excuse her from the table.
Ron? Mayor Potter, members of the council, I have a couple of hats on today. I am a City of Portland resident, father of two in Portland Public Schools, also a downtown Portland businessman, executive committee of the Portland Business Alliance, and chairman of the Downtown Clean and Safe District. I would like to mention that the Board of Directors of the Portland Business Alliance have unanimously passed a resolution supporting renewal of this. I might also add that I have been on the CHIF Allocation Committee since its inception with Commissioner Saltzman and have found it very rewarding, very helpful. I really think also that the grantees, the nonprofit community, are better for this. I think they are more accountable and more efficient in delivering their services. And as we renew this, I really think that we'll see it ramp up that much more. The infrastructure is in place, and now I just think we need to renew it and move forward. Thank you.
Hi, Alyssa Kinney-Geyer. Hello, Mr. Mayor and Council members. I was recently appointed to the Children's Investment Fund Allocation Committee because of the different hats I wear, so I will try to represent some of those different perspectives and why I strongly support the reauthorization of the Children's Investment Fund. First, as a past and current member of several foundations which focus on children at risk, I applaud the public-private collaboration between the Children's Investment Fund and private funders. The private sector often supports pilot programs and research of best practices. The public can then invest wisely in programs that have demonstrated the greatest impact on children. Given the scrutiny that CHIFS grant recipients receive from many of their private funders, as well as from the Children's Investment Fund, taxpayers can be assured that funds are used efficiently to reach the children most in need. Through CHIFS' new leveraged fund, where private foundations match CHIFS contributions one-to-one for certain programs, taxpayers can also take great satisfaction that for every dollar allocated to these programs, their investment is doubled by private foundations. Second, as a member of the Multnomah County Commission on Children, Families, and Community, I applaud the collaboration between the city and the county. For example, the Children's Investment Fund and the county have teamed up to improve access to after-school programs and to affordable, quality child care, and have catalyzed a child care assessment system that the state is now adopting for all of Oregon's children. County Chair Ted Wheeler can't be here today because he's in D.C. lobbying for county issues, but his membership as chair of the county commission, his membership on this allocation committee underscores the determination of the city and the county to work together to meet the needs of children of all ages. Third, as a PTA chair and parent of three children who have attended public schools with a high percentage of low-income and non-native English-speaking students, I applaud the collaboration between the Children's Investment Fund and Portland's schools. K through 12 schools can only achieve their academic goals when kids come to school ready to learn, when there are stimulating after-school enrichment programs for kids who might otherwise be on the streets or in front of the TV, and when nonprofit partners can give parents the tools and support they need to help their kids succeed. Lastly, in the spirit of collaboration, I want to pay tribute to the nonprofit organizations, many of whom are here, supported by the Children's Investment Fund. These groups make up the backbone of civil society. Community members volunteer their time to serve on boards and assist in programs, and staff work long hours for often very low salaries to have a lasting impact on young lives. I am proud to be a part of a city that supports its civil society and, most of all, supports its most vulnerable young citizens. Thank you.
Our next panel is Multnomah County Commissioner Jeff Kogan, Portland Police Chief Rosie Sizer, Susan Stoltenberg, Executive Director of Portland Impact, and Elizabeth Fleming, a parent whose family is receiving services at Portland Impact's Parent-Child Development Program. Enough chairs?
Mayor Potter, member of the council, I'm Jeff Kogan, and I'm here tonight to urge you to refer the Children's Investment Fund to the November ballot. And we all know there are going to be a lot of ballot measures competing for the voters' support this November, but none can claim a bigger impact on the future of our community than the Children's Investment Fund can. At a time when support for children has been withering in our state, the Children's Investment Fund has been one of the rare lights of hope. And simply put, it's been changing lives of thousands of children in Portland and giving them opportunities and support they just wouldn't have if the Children's Investment Fund wasn't there. You're going to hear a lot tonight about the terrific programs that are being funded by the Children's Investment Fund, but I wanted to focus my comments a little on something different, which is the ways in which the Children's Investment Fund has been changing the way our community approaches helping children and also changes the way our government relates to the community. There are three aspects of the Children's Investment Fund I want to particularly call out. The first are the accountability measures that are in the Children's Investment Fund. The fact that the Children's Investment Fund only funds proven programs. Now, I want to take a step for that. That sounds so commonsensical, you'd almost think, well, of course, what are we going to fund, programs that don't work? But the truth of the matter is, before the Children's Investment Fund came about, a lot of times government programs were funding just because they were previously there. We just kept funding the programs that we'd always been funding and never took time to look through the lens and say, is this actually working? And at the Children's Investment Fund, by bringing that focus of only funding something that could actually prove it was working, makes a tremendous difference in letting the voters know that their tax dollars are actually making a difference. Also, the annual audits that the Children's Investment Fund has and the Citizens Allocation Committee, you've already heard from them, as well as the annual reports to the community, are accountability pieces that really matter because it's very challenging for people in the community to really know whether their dollars are making a difference. And by having an independent audit and independent citizen members being part of the decision-making and also having reports back to the community about how it's working, it really helps, I think, build faith not just in the programs funded by the Children's Investment Fund, but in our local government more broadly. I also want to really call out the efficiency aspect of the Children's Investment Fund. And you've already heard a little bit about it. The fact that there's an admin cap of 5%, and 95% of the money has to go to the programs. And actually, I don't know if you noticed in the actual PowerPoint before, but the admin cap is 5%, but the actual administrative expenses have been left to below 4%, which is really astonishing. As someone who works in a large government that has a lot of administration, I can tell you that's something that we look to as a way of helping improve our own efficiency, because frankly, we can say, look, it's being done over there at the Children's Investment Fund. It's possible to administer programs as efficiently. And so I think not only does it help give the voters a sense that their money is being well spent, but it helps all of us in our efforts to improve the efficiency of our governments. And then finally, I wanted to really call out the collaboration that's inherent in the Children's Investment Fund. The fact that the Children's Investment Fund does partner so well with the county in after-school programming and other areas as well, but also the fact that the Children's Investment Fund has created this leverage fund, which is really a groundbreaking thing, and that $3 million there has been matched by $3 million from private foundations. It's really important on the one hand because it actually makes the money go farther. That's an extra $3 million than we might have otherwise had. But I think it's even more important than that, because all too often, the private and public funders in this community just operate on their own tracks and don't really collaborate and don't really make sure that they're working together. And this is really the first major step that I'm aware of in the community where the private foundations and the community governments are collaborating and strategizing and thinking about how we can begin to develop our resources and use our resources in the way that gets the most impact to the community. And I think that what you've seen with the leverage fund is going to be just the beginning of a lot more to come. So overall, I just would like to say that CHIF has been a rousing success, and I really encourage you to bring it back to the voters so they can resoundingly support it. Thank you.
Chief. Mayor Potter, Commissioners, I'm Rosie Sizer. I'm Portland's police chief, and I'm here to support the renewal of the levy for the Children's Investment Fund. As a police officer, I have spent a career dealing with the repercussions from our society's disinvestment in our children. Cops deal daily with issues of child abuse and neglect, kids who drop out of our educational system, and the dearth of positive activities for kids who are at most risk of falling between the cracks and getting into trouble. The Children's Investment Fund works to correct the gaps in our current systems in a cost-effective way. I'm the police chief. I'm also a board member of Big Brothers Big Sisters Columbia Northwest, which provides caring mentors to kids at risk. I know from my work with Big Brothers Big Sisters that small investments made early in a child's life make a big difference. Studies have shown that investments like mentorship keep kids in school and improve their performance academically and reduce teen usage rates of drug and alcohol. Ultimately, these investments help prevent kids from making really bad choices, some of which land them in jail. The numbers are pretty staggering. It's smart to spend $1,000 a year to mentor a child rather than $65,000 a year to incarcerate a child with the Oregon Youth Authority. I thank and applaud the leadership of Dan Salzman and the support of City Council has shown for CHIF and hope very much that it's renewed.
Thank you. Susan?
Thank you for this opportunity to first thank you for your investment and endorsement in the last 6 years and also encourage you to continue that. On behalf of Portland Impact and the other nonprofit organizations, I know that your investment is our investment. We're probably all property owners or renters who are paying somebody else's property taxes. Anyway, we are all the dollars are more than matched with the efforts of thousands of volunteers. And the picture that is painted from the early childhood through the after school and the mentoring is best described by the faces of the people that you're going to hear from this evening. So I'm not going to take any more time. Elizabeth is in our early childhood program, came to us through that door, and she tells a much more graphic and touching story than I can with all the numbers in the world.
I'm so nervous. I don't know how close I should get to this thing.
You're fine.
Can everybody hear me? Okay, well, Mayor Potter and council members, thank you for allowing me. I'm so honored and so nervous. Oh, my gosh. To explain what the Children's Investment Fund has meant to me and my family. I'm Elizabeth Fleming. I have three small children who I'm fortunate enough to be able to stay home and care for because my husband works. And we've been with Portland Impact for about a year and a half now, I think. We started out going to playgroups every Thursday, and we're fortunate enough that we live right across the street, so it's not hard. With a 4-year-old, a 2.5-year-old, and a 1-year-old, it would be difficult to take the bus, so we're right across the street. We started out with playgroups and home visits. My 2-year-old was a struggle. He was my hardest kid. And through referrals that I got from Portland Impact, we got hooked up with VOA Respite Care, where all three of my kids now go every Wednesday and Friday. They get transported from 8 in the morning to 1 in the afternoon. I get that little break, which is lovely for my nerves and stress, and has made me a much better parent because I appreciate my kids more. When they come home and they get off that van, I want to kiss their little faces. I see them and I just want to run out there and get them. I never knew what it felt like to miss my kids because I was with them 24 hours a day. Even though we got hooked up with VOA and they were all going to their appropriate, age-appropriate classrooms, my 2-year-old was still having struggles with behavior and language development. And we got a referral for Multnomah County Early Childhood Development. We got a lady named Nancy McAuliffe now who's been coming to my house once a week to devote her time just to focus on my 2-year-old. And 6 months ago, when we started with her, I had to do an evaluation for my son's vocabulary, and it was a piece of paper with like 200 or 300 words on it, and you have to go through it and circle the words that your kid knows. And it was heartbreaking that I could only circle 5 or 6 words, maybe 10. 6 months later, which was only a couple weeks ago, I had to do his new evaluation. And I was able to circle every word except for 5 or 6 of them. And I thought that I had this little boy who's so beautiful, and like he has this one side of him that was so wonderful, but hardly nobody got to see that because all he would do was scream and hit. Now he's using his words, he's using sentences. He's not beating up on his little brother as much as he was before. He'll use his words to tell me, "Mommy, get Roman." That's my little one. So that's the biggest thing, my 2-year-old, just how much he's developed and really evolved. I feel like I have the community helping me raise my kids. Because and as much as I love them and as much as a wonderful mother I want to be and do everything for them, it's very hard. And without the support of the teachers who come into my house now, and I feel like they're my family. When I send my kids off to, when I go to playgroup or when I send my kids off to preschool, I feel like they're going with family. And they come home happy. They come home telling me what they learned at school. My 4-year-old daughter comes home teaching me new songs. All of a sudden, she could speak Spanish. And I'm like, "Where did you learn that from?" And she's like, "Mommy, I got to go to the baño." And new songs that she teaches me and just little things that I know that I don't have either the patience or the skills or the time to do for my kids. I have the community helping me do those. My husband was laid off of work. He's a hard worker. He makes enough to pay the rent and get diapers and gas money. And we scrape by, we always have, but he was laid off work and we were facing eviction. And through a referral through Portland Impact, they paid 2.5 months of our rent. We've got energy assistance where they paid $300 of our electric bill. I've had the teachers go above and beyond what their job description probably is just to help me with personal situations. We have a spare room, which is supposed to be me and my husband's room, but we use it for storage because we have a tiny apartment. And so my kids have the only available room. And one of the teachers, Joanne Gavin, bless her heart, she came with her husband's truck and spent half the morning taking two loads of stuff to donate it for me so I could have a sanctuary of my own, so to speak.
You're fine.
They've become more than teachers for my children. They've become my mentors. It's very hard having three little kids that close together. They just came like that. I didn't even realize until they were all three there. And I was like, oh my gosh, what am I going to do? And then I got hooked up with this program and became close with the wonderful ladies of Portland Impact. I'm able to be honest about my feelings and get sensible advice, things that you can actually use. It's easy to give someone advice, but when you're in a small apartment with three little kids, you need something that's practical, something that you can use on a day-to-day basis, and I've received that. There's probably so much more I could say.
Okay, then we got to let them.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Elizabeth.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Our next panel is Nancy Cerna, who is presently a freshman at Portland State University. Nancy served as a mentor for Vanessa Mendoza Cruz, who is in the Oregon Council of Hispanic Advancement's Oregon Leadership Institute. Vanessa presently attends Madison High School and is now a mentor herself at Roseway Heights Middle School. And then our other panelist is Chris Otis, who is the executive director of the Children's Relief Nursery.
Hi, my name is Nancy Cerna, and I am a student at Portland State University. I was a mentor when I attended Madison High School. I am here today to request your support for the Children's Investment Fund. The reasons why Oregon Leadership Institute is so important for Latino youth and youth in general is because it really helps the community. It is an empowering program where one has the opportunity to develop identity and gear towards creating a positive future along with like-minded youth. Oregon Leadership Institute is vital to building a strong sense of community that many young students desperately need. In high school, when I first became a mentor to middle school students, I understood that this would be a great opportunity to empower my mentees. It would also keep me in line and out of trouble. As Vanessa's mentors, my hopes were that she would become a mentor for other youth. Now my hopes are that she obtains higher education, creating a circle of caring, intelligent, committed, productive, balanced, and of course, fun individuals, along with other members of the Oregon Leadership Institute. Thank you for your time, and I would like to encourage you as well as the community to support the Children's Investment Fund.
Hi, I'm Vanessa Mendoza Cruz. I am 16 years old and I attend James Madison High School. I enjoy to play sports, spend time with old and new friends, and I also enjoy to get involved with my community. There's a program that offers me all this, and that's OLI. I have been a part of OLI since its beginning. That's 4 years now. To me, OLI doesn't only stand for Oregon Leadership Institute. It also stands for another family and another school. That's why I'm here today to request for your support for the Children's Investment Fund. A high school student becomes a mentor and a middle school student becomes a mentee to most. But to me, they become more than that. To me, they become like family. For example, on my eighth grade year, I was given the opportunity to work with one of the greatest mentors I had ever had. Her name is Nancy Cerna. She's sitting right here next to me. That bright smile you see on her face I had seen it before, but I never imagined that it would bring so much light into my life. Nancy was not only a mentor, she became like a big sister to me. She guided me through many games, projects, and struggles I faced in eighth grade. Nancy was that last push I needed to become a mentor. I wanted to be somebody's bright light. So in my freshman year, I became a mentor at James Madison High School. I was now being able to work with Nancy. Her courage to want to graduate gave her the Algiers Scholarship. Now she attends Portland State University. Even though she is now in college, we still keep in touch. I'm glad we do, because she still encourages me to be a good mentor and to be a good student so that I can too get that same scholarship she once received. OLI has also brought a new school, so to speak, into my life. OLI has given the opportunity to high school mentors to become leaders and teach something new to the mentees. The mentors guide the mentees through games and discussions, and at times, the mentees also teach something new to the mentors. Many times, the mentees give the mentors a new way to look at things. One thing I have personally learned from them is to keep positive. That, to me, is something I need now more than ever, because it helps me want to beat my depression. Every week, I look forward to seeing all the mentees and their brightness. No matter how low, frustrated, or stressed I feel, seeing and spending time with the mentees always cheers me up. Sports like soccer or basketball are some of the games we play with the mentees so that we can all be involved. In the past years, we have always had a project that helps us be involved not only by working as mentor, mentee, but letting us work with our community. OLI has had projects such as graffiti cleanups and the making of a mural. Our graffiti cleanups were great because we'll learn not to be part of vandalizing private or public properties. Our community service project was announced on the news, something that made the mentors, the mentees, and the coordinators proud of their hard work. The mural project was also another great idea because it shows the pride of our culture in the Cooley neighborhood. Once again, I want to encourage you your support for the Children's Investment Fund so that we can keep making a difference for our community. Thank you.
Thank you.
Chris. Mayor Potter, members of the council, my name is Chris Otis. I'm the executive director with the Children's Relief Nursery, and I'm here this evening to encourage your support for renewal of CHIF, but I'm also here to, on behalf of the nursery, to thank you for your past support of our work, but really more importantly, to thank you for your support of the families and children in our community that we work with. With your help and the help of the Children's Investment Fund, in the calendar year 2007, we served 192 children, and that represented 177 families. And these are very, very young children that we're working with, birth through three, and families who are living in extremely difficult situations. They're living without money. In fact, most of our families are living at or below the federal poverty level. They're living without secure housing, wondering where they're going to be from night to night. They're worried about food and where they'll get their next meal, and they're often struggling with substance abuse, depression, or some other mental health issue. And in these homes, because of these situations, we know that there are children who are at high risk for abuse and neglect. But with the help of the Children's Investment Fund, we entered the lives of these families, and we offered them immediate support with day-to-day living by providing them with concrete goods. We were able to work with them and nurture their children in our classrooms where we can address social and emotional developmental needs of these young children. And we were able to enter the homes of these families and spend time with the parents, helping them understand their children and their behaviors, and helping them to begin to think about building families and doing parenting in different, more productive and positive kinds of ways. With your help, we really have been able to change some lives. And rather than speak to more numbers, I would share one story with you. And this is a story that didn't start with the Children's Relief Nursery, and it certainly won't end with us, but it is an illustration about what a community can do when it reaches out and wraps its arms around somebody in need, how lives really can be changed. And I'll call this woman Shelley. And Shelley had an 18-month-old son called Danny, and when he was 18 months old, she started to use meth. Shelley was actually a little bit fortunate in that her family was in the area, and they intervened, and eventually Danny went to live with the grandmother. And he stayed with the family for his second, third, and his fourth birthday. And Shelley missed him, and he missed her, but she still wasn't able to stop using. She became pregnant at some point after that with her second child. And when her daughter Kate was born and they were in the hospital, they both tested positive for drugs. And at that point, the Department of Human Services got involved and they opened a case. And Shelley at that point became determined to not lose another child. And she opted to try to take some very positive and tough steps. And with her mother, they met with DHS and they developed a mediation plan, and Shelley started to work that plan. And the grandmother still continued to care for her older son, Danny, but Kate and Shelley went into residential treatment for drug rehabilitation. And Shelley graduated from that program in about 4 months' time and then went to live with her sister so that she could sort of remove herself from some of the other folks that she had been associating with and try to start life fresh. She applied for housing assistance, and eventually, in the summer of 2006, Shelley and Danny and Kate moved into their own housing in St. John's, which brought her in contact with us, actually through the community health nurses in our community who understand what it is that we do, and they work with families who are in risky, difficult situations all the time. And their concern was that Shelley might need some help with parenting, that it might be difficult for her as a young, struggling mother to be suddenly in a home now with two children on her own. So they referred her to us, and through us, she went through a parenting program and worked with a support group and had a case manager who came into her home and worked with her around parenting and talked about different behaviors and how to kind of structure and do family in different kinds of ways. Shelley also took advantage of respite care that we offer, which freed her up a little bit to take care of some of her own personal appointments, but also gave her the opportunity to attend to some mental health therapy sessions through a partnership that we have with LifeWorks Northwest. And throughout her time with us, Shelley also was provided with concrete goods like food boxes and some rent assistance and some clothing, the things that can make a dramatic difference in the lives of people who are living without money and without means. And importantly, Shelley's case manager encouraged her to reach out to some of the resources in the community. And with her help, she accessed a program called the Jobs Program through the Department of Human Services and started to participate in a program called Steps to Success, which placed her in an internship program. And then she applied and was accepted to the dental assistant program at Portland Community College, where she is today. She's moving through that program successful and is on target to graduate. She is more than a year and a half drug-free and living a different life with her children. And I share this with you as an example of what a community can do to change the life for an adult, but really importantly, by changing the life for that adult, what you can do to change the lives of the children in that family who now are living in a much more stable, a warmer, and a much more secure environment, and their trajectory for success has gone up incredibly. So I thank you on behalf of the nursery for the work that you've helped us do. We applaud your leadership in seeing CHIF through the first time, and we certainly encourage your support for it a second time around.
Thank you all. Thank you. Our next panel is Aaron Hubert, who is chair of the Citizens Crime Commission, and Margie Brown, who is a member of Stand for Children.
Good evening, Mayor, Commissioners. I'm Aaron Hubert, chair of the Citizens Crime Commission. Speaking on behalf of the Crime Commission this evening, also speaking as a private businesswoman, on behalf of the Crime Commission, we have huge support for the Children Investment Fund. Very many of the programs, such as Children's Relief Nursery, SMART, Friends of the Children, Head Start, programs like that the fund helps support, are programs that we did a research study probably about 9 years ago with the Crime Commission, about 2 years worth of research on various programs that serve youth, and which ones really do have proven programs, as has been spoken about so much tonight. We found programs that actually were proven not to work, but the funding just continued, and we found programs that absolutely did work, such as the ones I mentioned earlier. So that's why when we heard about the Children's Investment Fund, the Crime Commission absolutely supported it, because it just was in alignment with so much of the work we had done. We have 6 years of traction now with the fund. I think it would be a real tragedy to lose that with what we've started and the good work that's been done. The other thing that this report showed us was how much of a larger return on investment that you get when you invest in youth for intervention and prevention versus the money that we spend today for anybody that's in the juvenile system. Far bigger return on the investment. So we are huge supporters of this fund. We hope to see it on the ballot in the fall. Also, as a private businesswoman, I run 6 radio stations in Portland and believe so much in this fund. We'll be running a public service campaign to educate the public about it and hope that we'll see support from them. So we look forward to your support. Thank you.
Margie?
Good evening, Mayor Potter and commissioners. My name is Margie Brown, and I'm a member of Stand for Children, a co-leader of the Westminster Stand team, and secretary of the Stan's Portland chapter. My husband and I have lived in Portland for 35 years and raised our daughters here, and I am now a grandmother of an 11-year-old and a 6-year-old who have participated in the SUN program at Buckman. And I was involved in the initial campaign to pass the Portland Children's Investment Fund back in 2002, and as an organization, Stand for Children worked hard to help pass that property measure and educate the voters on the importance of providing needed support services for children in our community. And we have continued to monitor the progress to ensure that CHIF funding is used responsibly. And I have to say that I'm really pleased with what has been accomplished over the last 5 years and the responsible way the initial promises in the measure have been met. We know that programs supported by Children's Investment Fund have made a difference in the lives of 16,000 children in our community. Unfortunately, there is much yet to be done and to give Portland's neediest children the support they need to thrive. On behalf of hundreds of Stand for Children members in Portland, I strongly urge you to place this measure on the November ballot to continue the Children's Investment Fund support of children who desperately need these added services. With the addition of the focus on the needs of foster children, we can continue to make a significant difference in the lives of Portland's children. We are talking about services that go beyond what can be provided by the Park Department, for example. And these programs that enable the community to reach beyond the minimum basic service help our kids have a chance to achieve their potential. Through the Children's Investment Fund, we are truly making an investment in the future of not only our children, but of our entire community. Thank you.
Thank you. Our final panel is Dr. Karen Gray, Superintendent of the Park Rose School District, and Barbara Rommel, Superintendent of the David Douglas School District. Welcome.
Good evening. Thanks so much for allowing us to be here tonight. We're here to offer our support for the Children's Investment Fund measure. I had the pleasure of serving on the planning committee when the measure was first developed to put before the public, and I have been very pleased to see the good work that the Children's Investment Fund has done for the children of this community. In our community, we have a lot of entities, you know, several school districts and lots of neighborhoods, and there's lots of mobility among those areas. And so a program that can really look at the needs of children and take care of those needs, particularly at a young age, really benefits the entire community because they are all of our children. And so I wanted to lend my support tonight for putting the measure back before the voters, and hopefully they will, in their wisdom, decide to fund it again because it does good things for kids.
Well, it's my pleasure to be here tonight. I'm Karen Gray from Park Rose School District, and the Children's Investment Fund is a new concept to me. I'm new to this area. But what I have seen in my school district is a lot of need with our families and with our students. They need all the help that they can get for early childhood education programs in order to have some readiness skills when they enter kindergarten. And not all kids are able to access a lot of the things we would hope that kids were able to do. With books and with learning and activities, and the Children's Investment Fund helps to support children to be able to have those experiences. In addition, some of the after-school programs that we have and mentorship programs are supported through this fund, and once again, for the same reasons, our kids in the Park Rose School District, not all of them are able to access these programs without help. It keeps our kids busy after school, working on their homework, getting connected to caring adults. And these are the kinds of activities that make for successful students in school. So I just support the work of the Children's Investment Fund and the work that you're doing. And I hope also, like Barbara said, that this is able to be brought again before the public and we'll get lots and lots of support because the children are our future.
Thank you both. Thank you. That completes our panels. So.
How many folks do we have signed up to testify?
We have 22 people.
22 people. I'm going to ask the folks testifying to keep your remarks to 2 minutes. So please read the first 4 people.
First four are Kelly Henderson, Sonia Irving, Clarissa Atunes, and Elva Batista.
Thank you, folks, for being here. When you speak, would you please state your name for the record, and anyone can start.
Yeah, I'll start. My name is Sonia Irvin, and I'm a parent of a kindergartner in the Portland Public Schools. My son had been at the St. Anthony's Daycare for almost the full 5 years prior to entering kindergarten, and the St. Anthony's Daycare offered the dinosaur school for the preschoolers and had a behavioral consultant on site for the students there, and then they also offered parenting classes, the Incredible Years, as well as some stress management classes for the parents. And what I saw with my son, and I think a lot of the kids in the class, is that they really learned how to manage their environment, deal with the emotions. My son is quite sensitive in terms of his reactions to things, and he was able to really learn how to take the situations that maybe weren't the most comfortable and manage them, and where to put them in sort of this big, vast world that he's living in. And in terms of the parenting classes, as a single mother, anything that I can get, and I think as parents, anything that we can get to help us provide a positive environment for our children helps our children. And so it really allowed me to gain skills that I didn't have because as a mom, I don't have a handbook and I don't know, you know, what I'm really doing with a child is trial and error, but it gave me a lot of opportunities to say, okay, here's some ways that I can really make positive impacts on my child and how do I use those. And even now, I took the class 3 years ago and I'm still saying, oh, I shouldn't have said that. Maybe I should go back and try something different. So personally, I really watched my son thrive with that. He's been able to go into the public school system in kindergarten and go into a Spanish immersion program and really do very well and be very positive. And just briefly, in my professional career, I work with people that are homeless, struggling with addiction and mental illness, and I think that if we provide people with the skills and the opportunities early, we can really avoid some of the difficulties that we see later on down the line.
Hello, my name is Kelly Henderson. I'm a Multnomah Youth Commissioner, and I'm here on behalf of the Multnomah Youth Commission to present this letter. Dear Portland City Council, the purpose of this letter is to encourage you to refer the Children's Investment Fund to the voters of Portland for renewal in the fall of 2008. On September 19, 2007, the Portland City Council designated the Multnomah Youth Commission as the official youth citizen advisory body for the City of Portland. In our endeavor to fulfill that responsibility, we consistently review and provide recommendations on city programs, plans, and initiatives. On Sunday, February 17th, the Multnomah Youth Commission voted unanimously to support the city's referral of CHIF to the Portland voters. The Children's Investment Fund plays a crucial role in implementing the core principles of our Bill of Rights, Children and Youth, the City of Portland's guiding policy document related to young people. By supporting early childhood, after-school, and mentoring programs, as well as child abuse prevention services, CHIF programs serve as a vital presence in the lives of thousands of Portland youth. The Multnomah Youth Commission believes that our community must invest in young people to provide support, services, and opportunities they need to grow up to be healthy, engaged, and productive adults. Thank you for your consideration of this important issue and your ongoing commitment to support the young people of Portland.
Hi, my name is Clarissa Antunes, and I have two children, 5 and 4 years age. I'm here to talk about a parenting classes I received from the program Hispanic. And I want to say they helped me a lot in the moment I getting out of my bad relation I have on that moment. And that helped me to manage this with my little kids. And one of those important things of this program was in my language, Spanish. And that helped me to express myself better. And that helped to the communication of the between the instructor and my kids because they only speak Spanish. And with this program, I learned how to manage their angers and bad manners of my children with their different characters or sex or each ages. So then for them was good too because they learned to the different ways to communication and express themselves without bad manners. And I want to say this is important for me because I know it's another people who needed these programs in Spanish and for the children. And in personal, it's important for me because my kids, they're growing up and they're changing their characters. And I can feel comfortable to have this institution to help me with their education. I want to say thank you because of you, to you because you're giving to us this opportunity to have this institution for this community, Hispanic peoples, you know, and something is so important for us is our children. Thank you.
Thank you.
Can you maybe switch chairs so we can use the microphone?
First of all, I want to say it's really a great honor for me to be here and in front of you and to know you personally, Mr. Mayor Tom Potter. I'm a parent, and I represent Whitman Elementary School in Southeast, and I have always been involved in this as a parent in the school. And the SUM program through in Portland Impact is a really, really great program to have in our school. We actually didn't have the program until probably 05 or 06. So it's fairly recent that it's in our school, and I'm really grateful for that. Since we have it in our school, we have had several events in our school. One of them has been weatherization, and that as, you know, the community and showing us as parents how can we have our homes more protected, in essence, of the cold. that in essence helps our pocket, and I'm sure it helps everybody's pocket. So that's really, really great. We also have a really great program, and that's in the Christmas time, that helps a lot of the parents that we cannot afford to give our children as much as we would like, but they give us some to give to them, and we still say it's Santa Claus, and we still say it's the Three Wise Kings. We also have another program, which is the energy assistance, and they're really helpful, and